Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Sports Radio 92 in the game. It's from the Northern Kia Studios, 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning. My thanks to Sam McGregor. I always like listening to the old heads. Not that I'm not one, too. All right, so I've come to a welcome to the show. I'm John Fricke. This is your show. I don't really call it the John Fricke Show because really you're the guest. So, you know, this is your show. And for the next 4 hours, the phone lines are going to be open at 404-726-0929. And you know what we're going to talk about. That's right. We're going to talk about the Olympics. No, of course not. We're going to talk about the Falcons. So I expect over the next 4 hours, I'm going to get a lot of what I'm getting on Twitter. you know, it's bright sunshine outside the Northern Kia Studios right now on this Sunday morning. It's bright sunshine. But apparently, you know, about 35, 40 miles downtown, me in downtown, apparently it's overcast because there's a lot of shade. Oh, man, okay? I expect a lot of, this is what I expect a lot to hear. Falcons suck. Okay, that's I expect a lot of that today, which is fine. You know, that's fine. That's fine. It's fine. Look, it's fine. I always say we can disagree without being disagreeable. And no, I am not a, even though I'm the keeper of the Kool-Aid and the driver of the bandwagon, I am not a paid shill of the Atlanta Falcons. I've never received one penny in my entire life from the Atlanta Falcons. Not one penny from the Atlanta Falcons. Or for that matter, as I said yesterday, any professional sports team. That's not true in college because I worked for colleges. I worked for Wake Forest. I worked for San Diego State. I worked for Chattanooga. I worked for Nebraska. I worked for USC. I worked for a lot of colleges. But I haven't been paid a penny. Well, actually, I have been paid. I got to correct myself, don't I? Because somebody's going to. I did do the pregame show. I was a pregame show host for the San Diego Padres. All right, so that I got paid by the Padres one time for 1 year to do their pregame show. Okay, so I have to amend myself. That is not me lying. That was me making a mistake and forgetting I had done that. Okay, but that was a long time ago. It was a baseball team. They were only very average. They were the Padres. And so, but from the Falcons, let's just go to the Falcons. Here in Atlanta, I've never been paid a penny by any of the teams in Atlanta. Let's just leave it at that. As a result, I just give you my honest opinion. That's all I do here, okay? I just give you my honest analysis and my honest opinion. Am I right? Probably not. Do I know what I'm talking about? A little bit. I mean, I've been doing this. You know, first NFL game I ever went to was kind of a famous game in kind of Hollywood NFL lore. My dad took me to Wrigley Field in Chicago, okay? And I saw the Bears and Gale Sayers play against Roman Gabriel and the LA Rams at Wrigley Field in Chicago in a game where, in a movie, Billy Dee Williams as Gale Sayers presents a ball to James Caan as Brian Piccolo, and James Caan, Brian Piccolo, says to Gale Sayers, hey, when you dedicate a game to someone, you should win the game, because the Bears lost that game. That was the game they lost. That was the Brian Song game. And yes, Dick Butkus was playing for the Bears. Yeah, I'm old, okay? I've been around a little bit. So I've been watching NFL football. First game I went to was in 1968. First Falcons game I went to was in 1974, maybe? I think 74. And then 75 would have been Bartkowski, right? Yeah, I mean, it's 50 years ago. You'll have to forgive me. 75 was Bartkowski, right? Yeah, it's Bart, 75. So, you know, I've been watching the Falcons for a while, too. Now, this is just my opinion as somebody who's watched these games for a long time, has followed this organization for 50 years, knows a little bit about it. Again, just a little, not much more than you. It's just, I've been around. I don't proclaim to be an expert, but I love all the experts. I love all the experts on X. Love all these Twitter GMs, because they seem to have it scoped. And so I have figured out, as of this morning, if you want to go to my Twitter or my Facebook, on my Facebook, I gave a 3-minute draft recap. I'll go back over it again today here on the show, so you don't have to watch that right now. And then on X, I've been kind of debating with some of the X repliers, posters. God, Elon, can you just change it back to Twitter, please? It's just easier. Elon even posted a poll. Should I call it Twitter again? Yeah, please. So anyway, the post, I got to stay off X. I have to stay off X, because this show today with you, I like to have three questions. I think you know if I have the show, okay? And again, we can disagree without being disagreeable. It's okay. You have an opinion. I have an opinion. I value your opinion. Well, if you're a Swamper, I probably don't value your opinion because, you know, big fat crayon writing on anyway. But I value your opinion, and I want to hear your opinion. We got 4 hours to talk to you about it. And so if you're unhappy, please feel free. Vent here. That's okay. But I want to kind of lay out where I stand here. Normally I have three questions. Today I only have one. One question for 4 hours. Do the Falcons suck? That's my question to you, because that's all I'm hearing. This is a poverty franchise. Terry Fontenot sucks. The Falcons suck. These guys are the worst. I mean, I just had one. Matter of fact, right before I went on the air, and I know that I should not go on when I'm starting to get, like, snarky. Because when I'm snarky, that's my way of getting angry. And I shouldn't do that, okay? Because, like, Jason Robertson hit me up on X. He says, I only remember the Falcons ever drafting 3 good players. I'm glad they took a different approach. Okay, there's some snark. Now, he only remembers the Falcons ever drafting 3 good players. I'm glad they took a different approach. In other words, for those of you who live in Ackworth, that means he's being snarky, saying that they decided not to draft anybody good. And he only remembers the Falcons ever drafting 3 good players. Oh, okay. I can remember the Falcons drafting 50, 100 good players. What are you talking about? They have Hall of Famers that they draft. Okay. And I know. It just gets me. Let's see here. Mike Drummond tweeted me, says, John, I love you, but you know damn well the Falcons are the laughingstock of the NFL. And I replied to him, looks around, sees Panthers, Commanders, Raiders, Browns, seeing Falcons as favorites to win NFC South. And I said, guess you see something I don't. The Falcons are not the laughingstock of the NFL. Again, this is my opinion. I'm not stating this as a fact, because there's no fact. Okay, your opinion may be, like Mike Drummond or like Jason Robertson, that the Falcons suck. That's fine. The Falcons are the prohibitive favorites to win the NFC South this year. Why? Because their front office won the offseason by getting the number one free agent to changing a quarterback room. 2 years ago, we sat here, you and I, talking about a quarterback room with a noodle-armed quitter and DoorDash Dez, and talked about how it was the, all of you, everybody, the worst quarterback room in the NFL. Oh, my God, these guys suck. We got guys throwing up, you know, hand grenades, lying on their back in the rain in Carolina, and then the next year we get back with the other dude because the first one quit on the team, and he's throwing to wide-open defensive backs at the three-yard line in the rain at Carolina. We just got to stop playing in the rain at Carolina. We just have to stop doing that. In front of, like, nobody, right? Okay? So we went from the worst quarterback room 2 years ago. What's the number one position in all of sports in the world? In all of team sports in the world, what is the number one position, most difficult position to play well, which is why they're paid so handsomely, why they become such stars? It's quarterback in the NFL. It is the hardest position to play well in the entire world in all of team sports. Right? And if you don't understand that, I can't explain it to you. You have to be able to be an extremely great processor, because you'll go up to the line, they change, they switch, you got to be able to process all of that instantaneously. You know, they talk in your headphone, they say, we're going to run this play, you know, run X, Y, Z, and then 15 seconds it cuts off, right? Which they're doing, by the way, in college football this year, they're going to use radios. And then you got to come up to the line and you got to be able to read the defense, set your team. When they jump after 15 seconds, because all defenses do, because they've learned to do this, because they know that the radio, now you have to adjust. You're either going to, you know, go with a play that you got because you think you still have something there, or you're going to audible, right? You're Omaha, Omaha, Omaha. And then you have to execute the play. And you got to do so, you know, with guys trying to kill you. I mean, they're trying to kill you. I mean, 6'6", 350-pound guys trying to kill you. And you got to do so in a split second. We went from the worst quarterback room in the NFL to now having Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix. The people that are grading the Michael Penix pick at F are brain dead. This is a fact. Brain dead, clueless people. You want to say that the value of the pick at 8 with Kirk Cousins is an F? I even think that that's wrong, and I think I can prove that. That's one thing. That's a value of a pick. But to say that the player is an F, you know, I'm saying the pick is an F because of the value of the pick. Okay, we can't have that. But when you say it's an F, you have to include the quality of the player. You cannot disassociate the quality of the player from the value of the pick. So even if you think the pick value is an F, okay, let's just say if the player is an A, and he's an A, he's the number two player on their board, then you have to come up with something in the middle like a C. You can't just call it an F. Because to call it an F, you're saying that the Falcons took Zach Wilson was an F, okay? Number two, can't play. Mac Jones was an F. Trey Lance was an F. Number three, can't play. Okay, that's fine. If it turns out Michael Penix can't play because he's no good, then yes, this pick will be graded as an F down the road. But for right now, you can't grade it as an F because you don't know. And frankly, you're not going to see it for a couple of years. We go from the worst quarterback room in the NFL to arguably, on paper, the best quarterback room in the NFL. I mean, Pittsburgh's got a pretty good one because they got two guys that have been long-term starters, one who has a Super Bowl ring, right? And I get all that. But as backups go, okay, Michael Penix Jr., and it's not just foresight for the future either. Keep in mind, this is chess that are people. These experts play checkers. The Falcons are trying to play chess here, and they're two moves ahead, and they're going, okay, we're just two moves ahead of you. Because in the grand scheme of things, when you look at what the Falcons have done in this offseason, there are so many things that these experts and you, all of you, including me, do not know. We do not know. And we'll go through the list here today. We don't know what they're going to run on offense. We don't know what they're going to run on defense. So they're going to draft the best player available and the best player available to them to run what they want to run. So when an expert says, well, you know, you're going out and getting the eighth best defensive tackle, well, maybe that eighth best defensive tackle, maybe there's a clue in that. Because here's the final summation of the draft, in my opinion. I'm going to happily say I read this wrong, because I read that the most glaring need for this team going into the draft was cover corner and safety. That's what I read, because those were really, in honesty, the top two spots that I saw on the board, and then maybe edge okay? Those would be the three. That's not what they told us. Boys and girls, moms and dads. They said the most glaring need was interior defensive line. Now, that's not to say the guys they already had there, David Onyemata or Grady Jarrett or, you know, Andy Cohen, if he ever plays, or any of the guys that they have in the interior, you know, Street or anybody, that they're not good. It's they're saying they're going to run a defense, a 3-4 defense, and they need guys to be kind of over center, one, you know, right either side of the center, one gap, you know, and I don't want to get into all the 1-3-5-7-9 thing. Just put the guy over the center, okay? I don't want to talk football lingo here. We're talking about a guy in the middle who could be a big run stuffer. That's why I pick like, and you Georgia fans know this, Zion Logue in the 7th round, I saw that pick and I went, you know what? he's big. Well, he's too tall. I always love that. He's too tall. He's either too tall because Grady Jarrett was too short. Remember that one? Yeah. Okay. So he's too tall. All Zion Logue ever did was clog everything up. Am I wrong, Georgia fans? I'm not saying he's Jalen Carter. I'm just saying all Zion Logue did at Georgia was clog everything up. And that's what you need at that position. If you're going to run a 3-4, you need a couple of guys that can clog it up. They're Drano guys. You know, they're not, all they're supposed to do is stop runs between the tackle and clog things up and demand a double team from a center and a guard to free everybody else up. That's their job. And Logue was pretty good at that at Georgia. And he was available and they took him in the 7th round because he fits what they need. So they know better than us. I'm not saying, look, Zion may not ever play for the Falcons. I don't know. All I know is that they drafted defensive tackle, and an edge guy. Why? Because that's where they viewed the value in this draft. All right, enough of my rant. 404-726-0929. I got 4 hours. I got to slow down. I got to just get pen up here. All right. Do the Falcons suck? That's my question. I'm curious. And if you do, and if you think that's fine, I'll give you plenty of time. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to bite your head off or anything. Just if you think the Falcons suck, just please do me a favor. If you're not a Falcons fan, don't jump into that, okay? Just openly admit I'm a fan of the other team, and I'm curious as to why you think the Falcons did okay in this draft. John Fergie with you on a Sunday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This seems a little high for him, but there's a lot to like about Penix. There's a lot to like about this kid. He's very mature. Talk about the injuries, but he's been healthy the last 2 years,
yep.
And he's won a lot of games, you know, on a good football team at Washington. So, you know, it's an interesting pick, and it's interesting. Look, having two good quarterbacks isn't a bad thing.
No kidding, Bill Belichick. Having two good quarterbacks isn't a bad thing. Yeah. Ask the Jets about that, right? You had Aaron Rodgers. Oh, damn. Yeah, having two good quarterbacks is a good thing, especially when you're coming off a team that for the last 2 years hasn't had one good quarterback. Sorry, I'm not trying to. I kind of hope our other guy isn't listening because I'm not trying to throw him under the bus here because I like Taylor Heineke. Because that's not fair to him because he's had some success. Just talking about, well, we all know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about star quarterbacks and projecting out what they can be. Yes, one of the quarterbacks is coming off an injury. That would be the 36-year-old that you gave $100 million guaranteed to, right? Yeah, that guy. So, I mean, this is not a Kirk Cousins, oh, I'm concerned thing. I don't think that was what this pick is. This isn't, I think I saw somebody say, oh, I'm concerned. Are they saying that Kirk Cousins isn't healthy? No, I don't think they're saying that. They're saying that, hey, listen, why not have a great quarterback room? Why not have a guy and a chance for a guy to develop? Welcome back to the show. John Frickie with you, 404-726-0929. Your reaction here to the draft? I think overall I thought it was really intriguing. The Penix sucks the oxygen out of the room. I get that. But when you look down at Rook, when you look down at Trice, when you look down even to Jace McClellan, which I thought was an interesting choice from Alabama as maybe potentially a third running back, when you look at, there were really no starting positions that they drafted into. And that's a product of a couple of things. One, where they're drafting and who's available. And number two, like on the offensive side of the ball, there were really no starters to be had. Everything was kind of locked up. Where? You drafted a starting running back? No. Center? No. Right guard? No. Left guard? No. Left tackle? No. Right tackle? No. Tight end? No. Wide receiver 1? No. Slot? No. Wide receiver 2? They liked Darnell Mooney a lot. There were no starting spots available on the offense. There were a couple, at least in theory, on the defense, right? But if they really like Antonio Hamilton and Kevin King, who they went out and got in, and they want to put him with Clark Phillips and have a competition at that other cornerback, and they think that's an upgrade over Jeff Okuda, and they think they're going to be fine over there, and if Jesse Bates says, hey, look, this kid Helms out of Alabama, who you drafted in the 7th round, I saw a lot of really good things from him. If Jimmy Lake's comfortable with that, they said to us that their issue was the defensive line. Now, I don't think that's a Grady injury issue. I think it's starting to become a little bit of an age issue. And they wanted some fresher, younger legs, and they needed guys to play more in the system of what Jimmy Lake wants to do, which is why you get a guy like Rook and a guy like Zion, because they tend to be more interior run-stuffing, you know, push the pocket from the middle guys and not edge guys, because they need that push in the middle, because they're going, we think we have effective edge guys. Now, they may be wrong about that. You may disagree with that. That's fine. Because who are their starting edge guys at the moment? Well, I think you drafted Braylon Trice, who I think they value as much as they did Turner or Latu. I'm just telling you what I think they think. They think they got value for Rook. I was more surprised by the trade-up initially for Rook than I was in the pick of Penix. I went, you went up 8 spots. I thought Cooper DeJean. No, they went to Rook. And I went, okay, he wasn't really on my board. And I didn't watch a whole lot of Clemson this year, even though I watched a ton of college football. I didn't watch a lot of Clemson because after the Riley Leonard debacle in the opening game, there wasn't much to watch for Clemson, and I was kind of off them. And that's not a slam on Clemson. I just don't have the time to watch everybody that's, you know, just I just don't. And so if you're not in the – I saw Clemson play a little bit against, you know, Florida State, for example. That's about it. So I wasn't really looking at Rook. I was watching a lot of Georgia. I was watching a lot of other teams, you know, Michigan's, all the kind of top teams, watching those guys play. So because the right hitter took him right out of the jump. So I think that they valued Rook not at 35. That's why they traded up to get him. I honestly believe, whether you agree or not, that the Falcons valued Rook as a first-round guy. And they said, everybody missed on this guy. Everybody missed on this guy. These people that are sitting around in their underwear in their basement saying he's the 8th best defensive tackle don't know what they're talking about. That's what they said. Now, you can choose to believe them, or you can choose to not believe them. That's fine. 404-726-0929. Let's get your thoughts on the Falcons draft. My question to you is, do the Falcons suck? There's a second question here that you can answer, too. Let me give you a little bit more of a positive spin. Prior to the draft, we said the Falcons were the favorites to win the NFC South. Are they still, in your mind, the favorites to win the NFC South? Let's go to, who's up first here today? Eric? Rich, let's go to Rich. Hey, Rich.
Freaky, good morning. How you doing, my brother?
Good, man.
Good. You know, do the Falcons suck? No. Did they suck? Absolutely. But, you know, when I'm at home and I'm getting ready to fix a meal, I'm by myself. And this is something I want Falcon fans to understand. When you're cooking a meal at home, you're by yourself. When you go out to a restaurant, there's an entire team that put in work to prepare a meal for you. And right now, Coach Raheem Morris and the GM, Terry Fontenot, are preparing a meal for us this upcoming season. So I want everybody to put a pause on being upset about them drafting Michael Penix. You know, they did their research. They sat with them. They met with them multiple times. They did their research on every draft pick they got. They investigated them. They talked to friends, family. They did an in-depth analysis on who they were drafting. And so I want to read 5 names for you. 6 names. Trent Cole, Calais Campbell, Elvis Dumervil, Robert Mathis, Jared Allen, and Jason Taylor. All defensive ends that were drafted in the late rounds of the NFL draft. And they all had great careers. Calais Campbell just did it for us. I want everybody
to pause. No, Rich, there's no argument. I mean, right. we all miss on the draft. The draft is a crapshoot, right? We all understand that. I mean, you don't even have to go that far back, and you could just go to our draft picks. You know, we have great Grady Jarrett was a fifth round pick. Foye Oluokun was a sixth or seventh round pick. DeMarco Helms, well, of course, DeMarco hasn't really. That's not fair to put it on him. He's not developed into that kind of player yet. But yeah, you don't have to go very far back to find that. Yeah.
One last point I want to make. You know, we have the opportunity, and Terry Fontenot learned from his last draft, if there's an opportunity to get a once-in-a-lifetime quarterback, you take it no matter what the position is, no matter where you are in the draft. And then, you know, I know that folks are going to harp and say this isn't about race, but I'm a sociology major, minor in environmental studies, if you think that these two brothers don't understand that everything they're going to do is under a microscope, they understand it, they know it, and they understand that, you know, in the next two seasons, they could be without a job. So I have full faith in what they're doing and what they're putting out on the table. Thank you, Freaky. Love you, man.
All right, appreciate it. The reason I would kind of disagree or kind of veer off from what Rich said there at the end is only because there is a truth and a fact, okay, that is undeniable in major sports, in all sports, but especially the major ones, and that is winning solves everything, okay? So no matter how you kind of spin, oh, we can't, you know, we got a culture here, you got to do that. No, winning, well, how are you going to sell tickets if you don't have Trae Young? Well, you got to start winning. You better win 60 games. Because if you win 60 games, nobody will care that Trae Young was here once. You know, winning solves everything. And just the way it works. But to the larger point here, they did so much work on Michael Penix Jr. And I really don't want to get bogged down in the Penix Jr. thing because I want to take it as a larger thing. Because to me, the more intriguing thing is that they said to us in this draft that the area of need was interior defensive line. Which I don't know that any of us would have thought prior to the draft would have been the area of need. If so much so that all the focus with three interior defensive linemen, including two guys in Rook and Zion, who are pretty much plug guys. When I say plug guys, I'm talking about guys that are going to be grunts, who are going to be the big tough guys right over the the center shoulder there to stuff everything and clog up the middle, to plug everything up. They're plug guys. Which, you know, may free them to bounce Grady Jarrett outside the – I don't want to get into these numbers here. I don't want to say 5-7. Just outside a little bit and free Grady Jarrett to possibly get one-on-ones to where Grady Jarrett can be sort of a quasi-edge guy. You know, if you can clog it up and take away the middle of the field there with Zion or Rook, then you can free guys up on the edge. So whatever it is – they have a plan. They have a master plan, and they're drafting into their master plan. Again, step back for a second and take it in. I said, oh, there's a hole at cornerback. There's a hole at safety, and they're listening to Fowler Branch go, you don't understand what we're doing here. You know, I mean, you just don't. This is what – it goes back to the original debate that we had about quarterback here with Kirk Cousins, which is, okay, we need an athletic quarterback. No, you don't understand what we're doing here, okay? And they finally gave us a clue. They said elite processor, okay? Elite processor. Oh, okay. And then when they said that, they finally went, okay, I guess we got to – John's a dunderhead. We got to tell him. So we'll release elite processor. And I went, oh, it's Kirk Cousins. Yeah, okay, all right, I get you, okay. They view Michael Penix Jr. as an elite processor. They had Michael Penix, by their own admission, number two on the board. They took Michael Penix number eight, just like Bijan, because they had Bijan number two overall on their board. They said that Michael Penix Jr. was number two overall on their board. Now, presuming that's Caleb Williams being number one, he was the number two player, not the number two quarterback, the number two player on their board overall. So you can't pass the value up. And if this – now, again, the proof is in the winning here. If the Falcons win this year, next year, maybe a year three with Cousins, and then continue to win with Michael Penix Jr., Okay, that's the proof. But we can't know that till we get there. Heck, we can't know about this year till we get there. We only think that we think that the Falcons are going to be a 10-win team. That's what I think. They have all the keys here, and we're about to unlock those keys. And finally, Drake London and Kyle Pitts and Bijan and all these weapons are going to have a top-end quarterback who can deliver the ball in the right place at the right time. And we may see this team go, oh, wow, this looks different. Yeah. Quarterback changes everything. Let's go to Steve here. Hey, Steve, welcome to the show.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Good, man.
I'm a huge believer in the draft is graded a year later. I think these guys that are up there, I think Mel Kiper, if you look back on what he does and how he grades people, those grades are completely opposite a year later. But with that being said, you know, let this whole thing play out. Let it play out. I think the Falcons made a great pick with Penix. You've got an athletic quarterback. As Belichick said, you've got two great quarterbacks now. And you made the point about you can't grade a draft at the draft. Look at Zach Wilson. What was he, number two?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Trey Lance was number three. You can't grade. But this happens too. Ryan Leaf was the number two pick in the draft. I'll circle back to that. When I was in San Diego in Southern California, we had discussion after discussion after discussion over who the Chargers should take. Who would the Chargers prefer the Indianapolis Colts take? And every Charger fan, almost to 90%, one of them, please, Colts, take that happy-footed Peyton Manning and give us that stud Ryan Leaf. That was nonstop for a month leading to the draft. How'd that work out for you? Adam's next, 404-726-0929. Do the Falcons suck? It's my question to you today on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Kia Studios, Northern Kia Studios. Hey, listen, I want all you guys and gals who are mad and screaming on Twitter to come jump in here, and here's your opportunity over the next 3 hours and 20 minutes. At 404-726-0929 to vent. Go ahead. I'm asking you, do the Falcons suck? I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to give you a chance to get it out of your system here. If you think that they just botched the hell out of this draft, fine. You can say, you know, that they don't know what they're doing and you have no faith, and you know, we haven't, you know, been in the playoffs in 7 years, and people are bringing up 28-3 as if it's got anything to do with these guys, but okay. Yes, Raheem Morris was part of 28-3, and that's why they're bringing it up. Oh, Raheem was on it. You know, if Raheem had just done a better job. Okay, all right, I got you. So the Falcons didn't – it was an interesting draft. It was ranked by this one Yahoo as the worst draft in the NFL. Matter of fact, a lot of Yahoos said it was the worst draft. Mel Kiper said it was the a lot of Yahoos on Yahoo. Saying it was the worst draft in the NFL. Okay, I guess. And the reason I'm only saying I guess is, this is why I'm letting you vent, is I don't know. Because I was mentioning just to Harper LaBelle, my partner in crime, my friend, from Wade Ford. He said, do they suck? ? Are you more upset than on Thursday night? Harper just sent me that little tweet or text. And I said, well, no, I'm not upset at all. Because I said this going into the draft to all of you, this is the philosophy that I've always had. One guy said, you know, they're on the hook for this. Of course they're. The AJC came out and said, you know, they're on the hook for this. Of course they are. Every coach and every GM is on the hook for every draft and every personnel decision they make. Yes. Okay. I help me with what I'm missing here. All right. I said, look, we're not privy to what's going on in that war room, right? There's 10, 12 guys in that war room. They've got their board. And obviously that's why I said I wanted to see their board. If we had seen their board, this is why they flew to Seattle, because they wanted to make sure their board was right. We'll just say for the sake of argument, and we don't know this, but let's say they had Caleb Williams number one overall, okay, by position and then overall 1 through 600. Caleb Williams, number one. Number two, Michael Penix Jr. And they went, well, in case Penix is there at 8, we better fly to Seattle to make sure that we are not making a massive mistake, because there's going to be blowback because he's not going to play. There's going to be blowback potentially because we just signed Kirk Cousins to a $100 million guarantee. Kirk's probably not going to be happy looking over the sidelines, because if things kind of go squirrely, there are going to be a lot of fans in town going, play Penix on the radio screaming, hey, let's see the kid, right? I mean, all those reasons. This was there was risk involved in this pick in a lot of ways. Okay, a lot of risk. This was a high risk, high reward kind of move. So they loaded up the plane. They took Raheem Morris, Terry Fontenot, and they said others. And I think we know who the others are, scouts and Zach Robinson and TJ Yates. And they all flew to Seattle and worked him out. They said, we got to go back up there. We got to take this 5-hour flight and go work him out again. And they work him out, and he's throwing in the rain, and it's 50 degrees, and it's windy, and he's dropping dimes. And they all came out, they got back at the plane. They went, okay, we're right. He's great. We got to take him if he's there. And sure enough, lo and behold, he was there. And they went, well, are we true to our board or not? They have remained. One thing that you cannot say about Terry Fontenot is he has not remained true to his board. The number one player on his board when they got to the Pitts pick was Kyle Pitts. The number one player on the board when they got to the Drake London pick was Drake London. The number one player on the board when they got to the Bijan pick was Bijan. The number one player on the board when they got to the Penix pick was Penix. He took the number one player on the board, on their board, maybe not yours, but on theirs, 4 years in a row. And that should set you up for dramatic offensive success, a huge, ginormous leap from what we've had over the last 3 years. Should. What? I don't know. Then they said, the second thing they said was, look, all of you, including me, Dunderhead, doesn't know, Chucklehead me, doesn't know what I'm talking about when I say cornerback and safety. They're going, we think we're fine back there. By the way, they're not necessarily done in free agency, but they're saying, look, we got that. We're not worried about that. We can protect those guys if we can get to the quarterback. And in Jimmy Lake's system, the way we do that is inside out. Everybody's going, oh, you got to go get the edge. They're going, yeah, but you go inside out in Jimmy's system. So we need to get the guys that are going to be inside. That's why you draft Dorlus and Rook and Zion to help out Grady and Onyemata and Streeton, Taquan, and all those guys, because they got to go inside out. We got to get pressure up the middle, and then we come off the edge. That's where Ellis and Anderson and Trice and Harrison and Ebukadi, you know. But it's got to go inside out, and that's how they do it. So I did not expect them to go D-line, interior D-line heavy, until after it was done, and I went, okay, now I'm beginning to understand a little bit. When they said elite processor, it said to me Kirk Cousins, and I went, oh, I understand a little bit. When they draft three defensive linemen, the style of Dorlus and Rook and Zion, and even trade up to get Rook, now I understand a little bit about what they're trying to do, because, again, set it against everything else we know, we don't know what they're going to do. We're getting little hints and glimpses and kind of teasers here. We've never seen what they're going to run. It's not like we had a team, not like, hey, Arthur Smith's still the head coach. And we're going, what the hell are you doing, Arthur? You know the problems on the team. Raheem's the head coach. We got a new head coach, two new coordinators. We don't really know what they want, what their game plan is. And it, all I can say is it better damn work. 404-726-0929. Let's get to your reaction. Adam joins us this morning. Hey, Adam.
Hey, good morning, John. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm actually pretty good.
Good, good. I just wanted to talk briefly about the question if the Falcons suck. Did they suck? Yes. Last season, they sucked in my eyes. But my grounds for sucking is incompetence, and I feel as though the Falcons are not going to be as incompetent this season as they were last season. And I just wanted to follow that up with a PSA to the Falcons and Atlanta natives. I've been born and raised in Atlanta. Please stay off of Twitter. Twitter is just the mind suck of the internet. You're going to get into fights with bots and who knows who else. I wake up every day. I don't have Twitter. I don't have Instagram. I don't have any of that. I wake up every day with a smile on my face knowing I'm not going to get into some random argument with some random non-Falcons fan on the internet. I wake up every morning. My blood pressure is 90 over 80, super low. That's because I'm able to watch these Falcons, take it in, know that we are not heading into this season with an incompetent coach, incompetent coordinators, and we have a team that we can ride through for the next couple of years at least.
Well, or more. I think that, you know, there's some, you know, future casting, going on here when you draft a guy like Penix. So maybe more, hopefully more. You know, beginning of a run. This is why, you know, the Green Bay Packers drafted Aaron Rodgers when they did. You know, really lucky Rodgers fell to him at 24, and they said, look, we can't pass on him because the Green Bay Packers said he was number two on their board. You know, all right, the number two guy on the board, if Alex Smith is number one and Aaron Rodgers is number two and San Francisco is out there trying to determine which one is what, and they took Alex Smith and then Aaron Rodgers just starts to plummet and they get all the way down to 24 and they're going, wait, I know we got Brett Favre, but we can't pass on this guy. And he sat on the bench for 3 years. I'm not saying that Penix is Rodgers. I'm saying you have to take value for what it is. You know, and we there's also other things we can't know. You know, did they try to trade back and just got met with resistance in trading back? I mean, I'm glad the Raiders took Brock Bowers. That's great. Already got a pretty good tight end, and they got no quarterback to throw to him. So, okay. Okay. Hope that works out for you. Hey, we got two great tight ends. Yeah. Who's going to throw the ball? I don't know. Can't tell. We'll find someone. Hey, how's that USFL thing going? All right, beats me. Thanks, Adam. Let's go to LeBron. LeBron joins John. Hey, LeBron, welcome to the show.
Good morning, John. Enjoying the show this morning, man. Hello?
Well, LeBron, do the Falcons suck?
No, of course not. Best move ever. I love the way they shook the draft up. And for me, it's like that old candy. You remember Now and Laters? We got Kurt for now, and we got Mike for later. Definitely in the long run, for now and the long run, where I just love the move with all the number one draft, with the number one draft picks, which was the 8th picks for the last 4 years. And you got to give the coach and the GM credit because I love the way they're moving. They are unapologetic about every move that they make. And you don't have to tell Kirk Cousins, hey, look, Kirk, we're going to get a quarterback. We just gave you $100 million. You should be cool with that. So sit back and be the professional that you are and go out and win games. And we would love for you to win the playoff games because your playoff status ain't really in known that much. Well, you should really be saying anything about no displacement or you're not happy. Man, you're making guaranteed $100 million. You should be good on that.
Yep, they should be good on that.
I mean,
$100 million man, right? I'm with you, LeBron. Yep, I appreciate it. Yeah, thanks, LeBron. 404-726-0929. Again, you could say, and that's why I'm asking you, did the Falcons suck? Because, you know, Adam says he stays off X and, you know, social media and all that. I can't. I mean, it's part of my job, part of what I do. Same with Facebook. I don't do the Chinese thingy, TikTok-y thingy. A lot of people do. If you do, that's fine. I'm not passing judgment here so much, though I don't really want somebody in Beijing having all my IP addresses, but that's just me. Though I know that there's no such thing as private anymore either. I stay on it, and yet, does it really get my blood pressure up? No, it confounds me more than anything else. I'm not really angry, because the biggest issue I have with text and tweeting and posting and all that kind of stuff is the lack of nuance, right? I think we can all agree. I mean, it's one thing to say, you know, right, get the hell out of here, because when you say it, I could say to, like, Zernon here, get the hell out of here, Zernon, what are you talking? Or I could say to him, get the hell out of here. You know, I mean, you lose that nuance, right? That's the problem with it. And so you lose a little bit of nuance. Sometimes that's why people come back, I'm only kidding, because there ought to be some kind of way to put nuance into things. Let's go to Zernon here. Hey, Zernon, what up?
Hey, it's actually Vernon, but anyway.
I'm sorry. I apologize, Vernon.
No, it's cool. No problem. After the initial shock and awe of the first pick died down, and I started thinking rationally, listen, nobody on Twitter, on ESPN, or anywhere has as much riding invested on this draft working than the guys and flowery branch. So I need to calm down and just let it ride out. And here's the thing. Another thing that I notice about a lot of fans, especially in Atlanta, is they want everybody that they've heard of. But so many teams throughout the league have guys that are excelling that they weren't household names until they made them household names. So I like the fact, okay, we bolster up the defensive line. You know, maybe you ain't heard of them, whatever. But I believe, and maybe I'm a fool, I believe that the process that we're on right now, we're going to be pleasantly surprised with all the interior linemen, and we're going to have a guy that we just drafted out of Washington that's going to be like an edge rusher, like a Micah Parsons. I'm not saying he's Micah Parsons. Please don't think I'm saying that. But they're going to move him around and do things of that nature, and I think we're going to be all right. Maybe I'm foolishly optimistic, but that's what I
believe. Yeah, maybe I am too, Vernon. I could be foolishly optimistic, you know, drive that bandwagon. I know I'm always kind of eternally optimistic. I just believe that that's the way that I live my life. I could not live my life as a pessimist. I would be wasting my life. Right.
I'm 100%
I think I'd be wasting my life. Yeah, right. Well, there you go. You better be optimistic. Darn right. I'm sort of commission sales too anymore, but that's another story. I'm kind of with you here. I don't know how you look. Just sometimes we react and disdain at what we see in front of us, and I tend to fly at 30,000 feet. And if I told you that we were going from, and this is kind of where I stand, 2 years ago, noodle armed quitter DoorDash Dez.
Yeah. Yeah.
To Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix. And you're mad?
Upgrade.
You're upset? Yes. You're PO'd at that? Walk me through being Falcons suck on that. Help me out.
Right. Hey, Fricky, and here's another thing, too. Modern era football, it's just real recent that people expect a quarterback to come in day one and play when – the motto has always been, let them sit, let them learn. So we got now, like my guy just said, we got now and we got later. Now, I thought initially, man, we could have spent $100 million getting fire-breathing defenders and then drafted Penix. But if we'd done that, who was going to play quarterback right now?
Do appreciate it, Vernon. 404-726-0929. Best of luck to you on your sales. I know all you guys are out there hustling right now, and given our economy, it's kind of a difficult thing. Look, I've done real estate. My wife does real estate too. I understand. You know, it's a lot of people chasing not as many dollars. Whatever you think here, my hat goes off. Hat goes off because I tip it to you. Sports Radio 99 The Game, going into the 11 o'clock church hour on a Sunday. Do the Falcons suck? Because that's all I'm reading here. And if you think so, that's fine. I'd love to hear from all of you. Please, I'm not going to bite your head off. I'm not going to scream at you. I'm not going to argue. I'll give you plenty of room. You go ahead and give them both barrels. You got plenty of ammo. I need to see people here. Go ahead and vent. Get it out of your system.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.